Good morning. Good to see you all, church. My name is Amir Kashtan, and I'm on staff here at church. I'm the one that will corner you if you're not in a small group or if you have a kid in junior high, so and you don't send them to youth group. Expect being cornered. And I'm so excited to continue our summer Psalms series. Isn't it so fun? Honestly, instead of, you know, we usually go to the Psalms for a short devo for 15 minutes in the morning, or, you know, we memorize one verse and just go to the Psalms and learn them verse by verse. I'm sure that's a great encouragement for you as much as it's a great encouragement for me. And today we will be in Psalm 46. You can start opening your Bibles there. Psalm chapter 46, which is a beautiful psalm that teaches us that God is our refuge. And as we read it through it today, you might find it a little familiar, and that's because this very psalm inspired Martin Luther about 500 years ago to write the well-known hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." Pretty cool. So let's stand together in honor of the Word of God and read this Psalm 46 that people were encouraged by for thousands of years. And I hope it will be a great encouragement for us as well today. Psalm 46, it says, "For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korach, set to Alamot a song." And here is verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, Selah." Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and we know that you are God. We know that you are our refuge, and we come and we thank you for your word. We know that you are the word. We ask that you will just bless our time as we learn what you have for us in this psalm. And I pray that you will just open our eyes and minds to your word. We thank you, and for you is all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So our big idea for today is found in the first half of the first verse. And it's very simple, very straightforward. Our big idea for today is God is our refuge. God is our refuge, very, very simple. And let's talk a little bit about this. When you hear the word refuge, what comes to your mind? Think about it. What comes to your mind when you hear the word refuge? Maybe a kind of a safe house, something strong, some kind of a shelter, a place that can hide me, a place in which I feel safe. What else is a refuge? A safe harbor? Something that is an escape from pressure. Maybe it's a person for you that is a refuge, someone that is knowledgeable and trustworthy. Maybe it's like a doctor. Maybe it's your parents. Webster's dictionary defines the word refuge as a shelter or protection from danger or distress. And when I think about refuge, I can't but think about Hurricane Irma. You remember that couple, you know, maybe a year ago, Hurricane Irma, and there was a lot of anxiety around as we saw that the Irma is going to hit Orlando pretty much directly. And I know you guys are all kind of cool about it, you know. Oh, yeah, another hurricane. For me, it was the first one in my life, okay? So it was kind of a scary thing and kind of exciting, but more than anything, I was just absolutely clueless about what it means to be in a hurricane. And I remember one day I sit with Jacqueline and we're kind of making a list, trying to figure out what do we need for this hurricane. And we need this kind of food and this amount of water and all that. And now when I look back, we probably bought like 50 times what we actually needed. We're going to be there for 2 months. But, you know, the one thing that we really figured out is that our home is not a really good refuge because, like, every room in our house has a window. We don't have any place that is a good refuge. So we decided to go to be with our in-laws, Scott and Carla, and they go to spend that night in their home. So comes evening, we go to their home, and when we came there, Robert and Nicole were already there, and we're all sitting there together, you know, in their refuge. They have a great room, a great refuge. We sit there together, six people, one of which was pregnant at that time, and four dogs, one of which was 10-week-old puppy, so it's kind of a beginning of a joke, right? So we're all sitting in that room together, and actually it was a great refuge because we couldn't even really hear what's going on outside. Every now and then, one of us needed to kind of peek outside and see, oh yeah, the storm is still there. You know, we hear the wind and all that and check what's going on. And we watch the TV, and we see that the eye of the storm should hit the Orlando area around 2 or 3 a.m., and we're kind of just waiting there expecting. And Now, Scott and Carla have these awnings outside in their house. And as the night progressed and the hurricane came closer, the winds got stronger. Right around 2 a.m., one of the awnings couldn't hold anymore and broke because of the wind. And it started to really, you know, swing in the wing. And so we sit in the room and suddenly we hear this boom, boom, you know? And then after 5 seconds again, boom, and so on. And every couple of seconds, we just hear this huge noise. And we're freaking out. What's going on? We went to check. We saw that it just hits the window. And we're figuring out, I don't know if the window can hold for so long anymore. And so this is kind of what's going on. Now, here's the question you need to answer correctly if you want to pass the Hurricane Survival 101 course, okay? If you want to pass it, here's the question. What is the one thing and the only thing you are not to do during a hurricane? Go outside. Good job, guys. Go outside. You don't leave the refuge, right? So, great answer, guys. I'm very proud of everyone's students. Good job. Everyone passes Hurricane Survival 101 together here. Good job. We don't go outside. Actually, not everyone, though. Everyone except our own senior pastor, Scott Pierre, because as we hear all this noise, we're talking and suddenly we look around and Scott isn't there. So I'm running out of the room trying to find out what's going on. I see him out there, 2:30 a.m., the middle of the storm, trying to catch this awning that is swinging in the wind, and he's trying to protect his house. And I'm running and I'm like, man, come on in, you know, it's not safe, right? Because we can replace the window. We can't replace you, so you need to come back in. Come back to the refuge. Come where you're safe. Come to the refuge, the place that is a refuge. And this is what a refuge is. It's a place that we're protected, where we are safe even when there is a deadly storm around us. And this psalm we're looking at today says that God is our refuge. We have no reason to be anxious about the storms of life because God is our refuge. You know, my wife Jacqueline and I were serving in the with the middle school students, and they're such a blessing to us. But one interesting thing that we learned this year in the past couple of years is that across the board, the number one issue students are dealing with across the board is the issue of anxiety. And this psalm is like a cure written for the anxious. And I did a little research about anxiety on anxiety this week. And I'm glad that you're all seated because these numbers are going to blow your mind, okay? According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, over 40 million adults are suffering from anxiety. This is nearly 20% of the population. Okay, so if you look around you right now, one out of five of the adults sitting in this room statistically is suffering from anxiety. Now, these are all only the numbers that are reported to this association, to this organization. So I believe the numbers are way higher than this, way higher. Americans who have more than most are some of the most anxious people in the world. This is a real, real epidemic in our culture, anxiety. Now, some of these cases are caused by chemical imbalances, and some are because of psychological syndromes, and I know that, and I realize that, but I believe that most of them are a result of our daily stresses that we all face. And as I continued my research, here are some of the causes I found for why we're anxious. Here are some of the causes, okay? Number one is money and future. That really causes us to be anxious, right? Money and future. This is including being anxious about our finances, about our ability to pay our bills, about getting into debt. It's about getting older and the stress of having savings for the future. It's also about moving. We all get anxious when we move, right? This leads me to the next reason for anxiety, which is job security. That's a big one, right? Meeting work targets, understanding what needs to be done, and working well enough to do the job. Being healthy enough to do the work, hoping for a salary raise. If you're a student, to graduate from school, to get good grades in school. Those are things that get us anxious. Here's the next one, health. We all want to be healthy. We get anxious. Is what I'm feeling normal? Am I sick? Am I dying? We get so worried about our diet. Are we consuming too many calories, too many chemicals? Am I working out enough to stay fit, to keep my heart healthy? And this is before we discuss being anxious about the health of our loved ones. Next one is relationships. We all understand this one. We want to be liked, to be loved by someone important. We worry whether if our spouse still loves me. We worry about our sexual lives. We wonder if we are good parents and then struggle to keep healthy relationship with our own parents as we age. We're devastated that our parents don't get along. We are worried because our parents divorced before and I'm bearing the consequence. The next one is appearance. I hardly even need to explain this one, right? You all look so great this morning. So obviously we understand the appearance part, right? We worry about our physique and about how we look, about our dressing style. We worry about how much we weigh or how our bodies are aging. We want nice clothes. We compare ourselves to others. Do I look like I know what I'm doing? Do I look like I know what's going on? We become anxious because we think that we maybe lose our attractiveness. The last reason for anxiety is safety and security. We are worried about wars, right? Think about these words: ISIS, North Korea, nuclear bomb, terror attacks. For many of us, these words cause a rise in blood pressure. And then let's bring it much closer to home and discuss crime, assault, break-ins, home traffic, human trafficking, and think about the billions of dollars we spend to secure and monitor our homes, our families, our technology from any intrusion. We also have here all kinds of natural disasters like hurricanes, tornadoes, fire, tsunami, and more, right? And when we look at this list, which is hardly exhaustive, I have to believe that one of these points, if not many, resonate with you and what you may be dealing with. I have to believe that one of these hits the bullseye for you, and if I'm right, will you give me kind of the double blink eye that's like, I see? Yeah, I know. We all struggle with this, right? Here's where we begin with verse 1 and confirm in our mind, in our heart, that God is our refuge. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Almost always, anxiety equals I have a refuge that isn't God. Okay, almost always anxiety equals I have a refuge that isn't God. But God should be our refuge. He is the best refuge. And here is why. Look at verse 1. It says four things about God. It says, one, God is our refuge. We talked a little bit about this already. He says, two, God is our strength. This means that I can be weak because God is strong. I can be weak because God is my strength. He says, it says that He is very present. And I love this description of God. He is very present. We can do a whole sermon on this one alone, right? He is very present. What does it mean? This means that He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is present with each one of us at all times. He is not limited by time. He is not limited by location. He is present. He is like our mobile refuge. He is there all the time, our mobile safe room. He is with us when it's hard, which is incredible. Then it says the fourth thing, He is our help in trouble. And here is the remedy. He is our remedy. He wants to help us. And He is the help that we so desperately need. This is who God is. So why would we choose to put our refuge in other things? It doesn't make sense because those other things pass. That some other things that we might put our refuge in, they are not like God. They can just disappear like this. We can lose our appearance over time. We can lose our job without notice. We can lose our health in a split second. If these things are our refuge, we can be left without anything at all before you even know it. But God is always our help in trouble. God is always very present. God is always our strength. God is always our refuge. Amen? So here's the question for us. Is God really your refuge today? God really are your refuge today in all areas of life, in all circumstances. Who is your refuge or what is your refuge? The whole focus of this psalm is God, who God is, how God is a refuge. But it also implies three responses we are to have to the fact that God is our refuge. And these are 3 points for today. These are the applications that we can expect from knowing that God is our refuge. So the first point for today, found in verse 2, the first application for us today is do not fear. Do not fear. What should we not fear? The psalmist covers two things between verse 2 and verse 7, things that we should not fear. Let's look at verse 2 and 3 first. It says, therefore, we will not fear. Do not fear, okay? Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the sea, into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. What is being described here? Natural disasters, right? Natural disasters. The mountains slipping into the sea, the waters roaring and foaming, earthquakes. This is some scary stuff right here. And totally out of our control. It reminds me again of Hurricane Irma. You are just helpless. You can't do anything but sit in a refuge. We are helpless in the face of natural disaster. I don't know if you heard, this week was a really tragic natural disaster in Greece. There was a village named Mati in Greece, and the temperatures went so high that the fire started in the forest nearby, and this fire kind of wiped out the village, and there are, at this point, 80 people died, and hundreds of people are missing. A lot of the people that died were children. And this is, again, to say, we are so helpless in the face of natural disaster, and it's scary. Look at verse 4 to 7. It starts saying, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdom stuttered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Here in the second part of what we shouldn't fear, in which the psalmist describes what? A war scenario. A war situation. And commentators aren't sure exactly what the exact war that the psalmist is describing here, but I believe that it's a war that is you can find in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I would recommend you to go there at home, 2 Chronicles 32. And in that war, the Sanherib, which is the ruler of the Assyrian Empire, comes over to fight against Judah in Jerusalem. He surrounded the city of Jerusalem and created a siege to starve the people. And it seemed as though the kingdom of Judah and their king Hezekiah are doomed. And they're going to be terminated. That river, in verse 4, that river whose streams make glad the city of God, seems to be an underground passage that Hezekiah himself built to bring water into the city. By the way, if you want to go to Israel, even today, you can actually go in this tunnel, Hezekiah's tunnel. You can go and walk in it. It's pretty cool. But can you imagine the fear of the Jews who are sieged in Jerusalem, surrounded by 200,000 Assyrian soldiers? Can you imagine yourself there, thinking tomorrow is going to be probably my last day? So here in these first seven verses, we have the calamity of natural disaster, we have the treachery of war, and we have the response of do not fear. And how are we putting this all together? How does it even possible? And the answer is that God is sovereign over natural disaster. God is sovereign over wars. He is sovereign over nature. Look at verse 6. It says, he raised his voice, the earth melted. He's sovereign over nature. And then he's sovereign over wars. In verse 5, it says, God is in the midst of her, Jerusalem. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. He's sovereign over wars. And we'll see in a second how that came to be. But we do not need to fear because we have a refuge in a God who is sovereign over nature and is sovereign over wars. And if this is true, how much more is he sovereign over our circumstances in our life? The question here is this: who do you fear most? And if the answer is not God, that's a pretty good sign for you to know that I'm lacking in the fear of God in my life. And if the answer is God, if you have the fear of God in you, you shouldn't fear other things, other circumstances, other people. Our second point for today, the second application for us from this passage, is found in verse 8. And the second point is, remember God's works. Remember God's works. Look with me at verse 8. It says, come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. So the second reaction to the fact that God is our refuge is that we should come and see God at work. We should remember how God was faithful before, and we should trust that he will be faithful again. Come and look at what God is doing, because that will strengthen your faith. This will strengthen our faith. That will help us fight our anxieties. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, he makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Do you remember the story I began to tell you about the Assyrian Empire fighting the people of Judah? Are besieged in Jerusalem with King Hezekiah. They are surrounded by like 200,000 Assyrian warriors. Do you know what happened in the story? Right at the break of dawn, God sent an angel, and the war ended before it ever started. just woke up in the morning expecting it to be their last day. They expected to be terminated by their enemy, and they looked over the walls and what they saw. Try to imagine this for a second. They look over the walls, and the war ceased. They see chariots burned in fire. They see 185,000 corpses of Assyrian soldiers around the hills of Jerusalem. God took care of it. The war didn't even start, and God took care of it because he is this kind of refuge to his people. And he says here, "Behold the works of the Lord." But this psalm was written actually after the war happened. So basically what he's saying is, look back at what God has done. Remind yourself of that, because when trouble comes, now you can rest in it. You can think about it. Remind yourself and remember, and that will strengthen your faith in time of trouble. Remember when you were anxious then, and he helped you overcome. He will do it again. This reminds me of a time I was called to war in 2012. And I remember standing in a circle with our general. And he's saying to us, "Hey, we're about to go. And look around you in the circle here. Some of you are not going to come back home. Some of you might come back home, but you will be injured. You will miss parts of your body or whatever. But we're going to finish our mission." And that's a moment you can't forget, right? And then after we finished this speech, we started our way. And we were a couple miles away from our enemy. And we started our way to war. And I remember thinking, "I don't know if I'm going to come back home today." And after a couple minutes, we got the news that there is a ceasefire. There was a ceasefire. So sure, God didn't kill all our enemies that day, but God caused a ceasefire and kept me safe in a day I thought might be my last day. So today when I'm anxious, I can look back and remember that God took care of me in a time of need, so I can trust that he will take care of me again when I have another time of need. I can say, God was my refuge then. I know he will be my refuge again, whatever else may come. Because when we see God at work, it grows our faith. And I know that most of us aren't soldiers and haven't been in a war, but this is still very applicable to us. For example, did you know that this last year, August 2017 to August 2018, we had over 40 celebrations of baptisms in our church of just a little over 200 people, including kids? Process that for a second, right? This was an amazingly fruitful year for our church, and we should look back at it and be reminded that God, if God did it before, if we saw God bringing 20% of our body to a public profession of faith through baptisms in 1 year, why wouldn't he do it again? Right? It's strengthening our faith. We can have greater faith looking back at this. But we have to remember, we have to take the time to remind ourselves of all God has already done, to encourage us about what God is capable to do again. This leads me to our third point, our third application for today, which is release your anxieties. Release your anxieties. Let it go. Let it go. That's our junior high students' favorite song, "Let It Go," right? I'm not going to sing it now. I know you all know it and probably tired of it. So let it go. Verse 10, look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Cease striving. Some of your Bibles might say, "Be still and know that I am God." The word in Hebrew for "cease striving" or "be still" is the word that literally means release, relax, loosen your grip. You get the picture here? God is our refuge, so we can rest in this refuge. Release your anxieties. And he continues with this beautiful promise. Look at it. I will be exalted above the nations. I will be exalted above the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And when I read these beautiful verses about relax and resting God and about releasing our anxieties to God because he is exalted, he's the Lord of hosts, he's the Lord of armies. When I read all this, something came to my mind because it says here that God, the God of Jacob is our stronghold. And I was wondering, why does he refer to Jacob, you know? Why specifically the God of Jacob is our stronghold? And that brought to my mind an interesting story that happens in Genesis 32. You can again read it back at home. I'll summarize it for you. In Genesis 32, of a day that Jacob was really anxious. So here's what happened. Jacob comes back with his family going back to Israel. But in Israel, his brother that hates him and want to kill him is waiting. His name is Esau. And Jacob is kind of worried about how is Esau going to accept him coming back. So he sends a messenger to check what mood Esau is, and his messenger goes there, comes back and says, hey, Esau is coming towards us with 400 men. Okay, Jacob kind of does the equation and realizes Esau is probably doesn't go on a field trip with his buddies, right? He's going with 400 men. He's coming for me. He's going to kill me and my family. He's mad. And he gets really anxious. Jacob gets really anxious and he's praying to God. And in the middle of the night, something very interesting happens. In the middle of the night, a random person out of nowhere just jumps on him and starts to wrestle him. And they wrestle and wrestle and wrestle all night. They wrestle and can't overcome and wrestle until the other guy, not Jacob, kind of tired of it. And then he kind of, I don't know what he did, kind of did, you know, snap. And he dislocated Jacob's hip. And Jacob realizes, oh man, I'm fighting with the Lord. And he says, hey, don't leave me before you bless me. And he blesses him. He changes his name from Jacob to Israel. And Jacob calls that place they fought Pniel, which means the face of God. That's how we know that it was the Lord, because it says, it's the face of God. So in this story, we see that Jacob was anxious and he had a good reason to be worried about his family's safety, about his own safety, about his future, and about the relationship he has with his brother. And then we have this scene that he's wrestling with the Lord. And man, Jacob had to be a stud, right? To wrestle all night long. And he had to have the great faith as well. Because when he realized who the Lord, who it was, he said, don't leave me until you bless me. But aren't we do the same exact thing? So often when we are worried, instead of releasing our anxieties, we wrestle with the Lord. We're trying to do it on our own. We're trying to figure it out by our own. Figure out how we are going to make it happen. We wrestle and we wrestle with the Lord. And sometimes we just need to release. Don't wrestle. Rest. Don't wrestle. Rest. Release your anxieties. We don't have to wait for God to dislocate our hip so we will release, so we will finally relax. He says, be still. Release your anxieties because the God of Jacob, the God that let Jacob fight all night thinking he's so strong and then just in a snap just dislocated his hip, this God is our stronghold. So don't wrestle. Rest. Release your anxieties. There can be another way some of you are wrestling with God. This is if you don't believe in God or you decide to refuse to believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you just refuse. You will fight and wrestle. And I just want to encourage you today and to call you today to just release it. Stop fighting. Stop wrestling with God. Look at this God we're reading about. Do you really want to fight him? Do you really want to be on the side that isn't his? Because here's the bottom line. In verse 10, it says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. When that day comes and our Lord Jesus, who died for our sins on the cross and conquered death in his resurrection, will be reigning and ruling over the nations, trust me, you want to be on his side. So don't wrestle with him. Release. Release it to him. So what are we making out of all of this? We saw that God is our refuge. God is the refuge. And therefore, we are called to not fear. We're called to remember God's works. We're called to release our anxieties. What are we doing with all this? In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is what we want to do. Let's go to him, any of us who are weary, and he will give us rest. Let's stop being anxious. Let's release our anxieties in prayer, and he will give us peace that surpasses understanding. Let's go to our refuge, our stronghold, and we want to do it now. And we want to invite you, if this is something you're struggling with, if you're anxious today, if you're struggling with anxiety, if you're weary, we want to invite you. We'll have the band come up, and we want to invite you, come and pray. All who are weary, come. Bring it to the Lord and rest in him. If you're anxious, come and tell God, I'm anxious and I want your peace that surpasses understanding, because I cannot do it by my own. I want to stop fearing. I don't want to fear. I want your peace. I want your rest, and I can do it by my own. Father, we come before you, and you know our hearts. You know that we are anxious so often. We wrestle with you, and we are fearful, and we know that you are our refuge. You're very present, and you are a help in trouble. And Lord, we come before you and we ask that you will take our worries, take our anxiety away. We're gonna take this time and just come before you, Lord. We're just gonna come before you and ask that you will take our burdens away, because you are a refuge, you are a perfect refuge. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.